हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। So now continuing with the discussion between Shaunaka Rishi and Yudhishthir, because Yudhishthir Maharaj is worried that he can't maintain the Brahmins because he doesn't have his facilities. And Shaunaka Rishi is just saying, no, the highest position is just be satisfied with whatever you have. So you're a mendicant now, you're living in the forest. You know, you and your brothers are in the forest, with living the lifestyle of those who live in the forest. So therefore, don't be in anxiety that you're not, by this, you're not producing wealth. Like that. Now you produce, you know, the piety that comes from knowledge and renunciation and good association with these saintly people. Yudhishthir was puzzled. Well, Rishi, I do not desire anything for myself. I only wish to have enough wealth to support the Brahmanas. What use is there in leading a householder's life if one cannot cherish and support one's dependents? Because the Brahmins in that way are considered dependents of the Kshatriyas, in that they take care of the facility. And then the Kshatriyas and the rest of society are the dependents of the Brahmins, because then they teach and you know, set a good example and do all the rituals. Is it not the duty of a householder to maintain both his family members and the brahmacharis and sannyasis? So too should a householder welcome guests and travelers. This is said to be the path to a religious merit. What is your opinion, O learned Brahmana? So here also we see he's making these very nice points, but you also see the method is that, okay, we've heard that this, and the Shastra mentions this, so what about this, so what do you have to say about that? Because the sage has mentioned something, so he's asking, okay, you've given these instructions, but it doesn't, you know, what about these areas that the Shastra mentions? Please shed some light on that. And rather than say, no, but what about this? You know, you said this, but there's this. It's not about, it's not an argument. It's a matter of, they've said something that possibly could have covered whatever you're thinking about, but we're not catching that. So whatever is your doubt is, the Shastra says this about the householder's life. We're maintaining dependence. And he gives the detail of the dependence. So now he's asking, so what about that aspect? Because he was saying, don't worry about these things before. You know, you're living in the forest, you know, what can you do? Alas, this world is full of contradictions, Shaunaka replied. That which makes the good and honest ashamed pleases the wicked. Right, so in other words, performance of proper duties and following the religious principles, then you know, it's what pleases the good and honest. And sinful things, unvirtuous things, those are pleasing the wicked. And so then this is the problem, is these things, like we see now with the Duryodhana, they get reversed. Moved by ignorance and passion, men act simply to gratify their stomachs and sensual organs. When the senses come in contact with their objects, a desire springs up in the heart to enjoy those objects. Blinded by desire, men become absorbed in following the dictates of the senses, which they mistake for real happiness. So the living entity, because he is embodied in this material body, then when his consciousness goes out through the senses, it comes in contact with sense objects. Contemplating those objects, observing them and thinking what they can do, you know, because every object has its particular existence, its uniqueness, something that it can do and some result that it produces, right? And so contemplating that, then there's a desire, I want to work with that sense object and get those, reap those benefits for myself, you know, myself or you know, family. And so then the problem comes is that we think that that will be real happiness, when the point is it's the soul's consciousness going out through the senses. But the senses are part of the body, that's not the soul. The soul has its own nature, its own, you know, natural spiritual body in that, but that gets covered by this material body, the gross and subtle. So it's working on that external platform. It makes a mistake that using the material senses with the material sense objects, the soul will become happy. When actually the soul can't, because the soul is conscious. Spiritual body is conscious. The spiritual environment is conscious, because they're all conscious of the Supreme. They're all conscious of Krishna. While in the material world, the body is dead matter, and everything around you is dead matter, and people tend to not see things properly in relationship with the Lord. And so, because of this, then that ignorance, then people are having difficulty. Right? And so they mistake that that's real happiness. And we see people are doing everything, whatever is recommended, but no one's being happy. The advertisement says, do this, you'll be happy. Who's happy? So like that, who's in ecstasy eating their bag of chips? You know, and fighting off the other family members because they want to eat those chips also, you know. Why not buy a bag for everybody? You know, you can only buy one bag of chips this big. You know, buy one for everybody. But no, it's just, I'm eating it, no one else is eating it. You know, I've seen the advertisement, you know, billboards, they said, you know, there's one guy with his bag of chips and everyone else is trying, is jumping on him like a football match or something. Yeah, so, but no one's happy. You know? But, you know, there's always the idea, maybe. Maybe, okay, I wasn't now, maybe the next thing. Shonaka explained that even pious men might be overpowered by desire when associating with the world and its enjoyable objects. Yudhishthira had already achieved success in his household life. Now, without attachment or material desire, he should concentrate on his practice of yoga and austerity in order to attain full spiritual success. By his spiritual power, he would then be able to support the Brahmanas. Because they're dealing on the spiritual platform, so if he develops his spiritual virtue and everything, then he'll be also able to move with them, to be able to deal with them. Yudhishthira thanked the Rishi for his instructions, by which he said he would follow. Then, still desiring to find the means by which he could maintain those ascetics, who wished to accompany him into the forest, the king asked Domya's advice, because by Shonaka, by what he was explaining, he just focuses on his spiritual advancement, the Brahmins will take care of himself. And so there is no flaw in that discussion there. But at the same time, as being a king, and being that he feels that, you know, as household they want to help and maintain, so he's still trying to find some way that they could maintain, even though they're in the forest in this way. So the king asked Domya's advice, because Domya's their priest. O great sage, I cannot abandon the Brahmins, but at the same time I have no power to provide for them. What shall I do? Domya reflected on Yudhishthira's question for some minutes, and then replied, long ago all created beings were afflicted by hunger. Thereupon Surya took compassion upon them. Drawing up water with his rays, he stayed over the earth. Then the moon, by its cooling powers, converted the resultant vapors into clouds. Then rain fell, and by the combination of sun and rain, food was brought forth from the earth. Thus all beings are actually supported by the sun. Take shelter of the sun god, O king, and you will be able to fulfill your purposes. Right? Because the sun, by its heat, draws up water and creates that vapor in the air, but then by the effect of the moon, it turns into clouds. And then when there's enough water, then it rains. And then from that, then you produce all living entities are maintained, all life forms are maintained by this rain. Domya explained to Yudhishthira how the great kings of the past had all protected and delivered their subjects by virtue of their own ascetic meditation and vows. So because they were so nicely there, you know, just their commitment to their particular vows, their austerity, their focus, their practice of the sadhana, that was what actually maintained the subjects. Because they were so good and everything like that, then Krishna and it was pleased and everybody had all their facilities. And then as people, you know, turn away from this virtuous lifestyle and give up the proper performance of the various duties in that prescribed by the Vedic culture, then with time then everything starts to degrade. It seems like everything's going nicely, you have a little fancy phone or this or that, but the quality of everything else is going down. Food's harder to get, everything's harder to get. The king immediately understood. In order to secure the means to support the Brahmanas, he should worship the sun god with an ascetic vow. Thus he asked the sage what means he should follow. Domya instructed Yudhishthira in the 108 names of the sun. as well as in Vedic prayers, he should recite. Then Yudhishthira entered the Ganges, stood facing the sun, and offered numerous prayers and worship to its deity. Now, because of the sun, what we're seeing is just the globe. That's the effulgence of the planet. In the planet is the sun god. And so he's there with his citizens and everything, but his effulgence is what we see. So that's the thing. He's empowered by Krishna to have that kind of, you know, potency. He took neither food nor water for several days and controlled his breathing through the process of pranayama yoga. Right? So Sindri, he doesn't eat. Okay. He's not eating like that. He's not drinking either. But remember, he's standing in the Ganga. So you're surrounded by water, but you're not drinking water. So, you know, it's quite focused, quite, you know, like that. And then he controls the breath through the pranayama, because when the air moves, that's when the mind can be restless. So you have to be able to stop the breathing, regulate the breathing, and then you can focus the mind very nicely. Renouncing sleep, the king continuously praised the sun god from the waters of the Ganges. So day and night like this, he didn't eat, he didn't drink water, he didn't sleep. 3 days later, the blazing sun god appeared before Yudhishthira and said, "I am pleased with your prayers and austerities, O king. You shall get all you desire. I shall provide you with food for the 12 years of your exile in the forest." Because for 12 years they'll be in the forest. The 13th year they'll be in the city. So then they'll be taken care of there by you know, whatever's the arrangements there. Because when they go into the city, they'll go in and perform duties, and so they'll have an occupation, and that occupation will take care of them. But for the 12 years they're in the forest, then sun god says, "I'll provide your food." The god gave to Yudhishthira a large copper plate with the following instruction. When Panchali, means Draupadi, has cooked a meal, she should place the food on this dish. Right after she prepares whatever they're going to eat, she puts it on that big copper plate. That food will then be inexhaustible in quantity until the time when she herself eats. You can thus feed any number of men from this plate. So with this plate, let's say there's 100 Brahmins. You put enough food on the plate where she can cook and they collect like that. That might be for, you know, how you say, 2, 3, 4 people, depends how you count it. Or like, let's say, half a meal for Bhima or something. You know, it depends on who you're counting. So then, but now taking that plate, you have those 100 Brahmins sitting there. You go and serve from the plate. It'll be unlimited. You could be 100 people there, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million, however many are there. You just keep serving, so because the sun god's providing. Then, after everyone's finished and all that, then they'll feed the Pandavas themselves, the brothers and all that, and then at the end, then Draupadi herself will eat. She'll sit down alone and eat peacefully. Once she's, and however much she needs to eat will be there. But as soon as she's finished the last morsel, and she's satisfied, the plate will be empty, like that, until the next meal. So the next time she cooks and puts and makes her offering, then it will be unlimited. The god then rose into the sky and vanished, adding, "You will regain your kingdom in 14 years from now." So, Nard Muni said this. Now we see that sun god has said this. When Arjuna went to the heavenly planets or met with the Lord Shiva and all the demigods when he was on the I think Gandamandana mountain, then they all also pronounced this. Like that. So everybody's making this point. But somehow or another, Duryodhana doesn't quite catch it. He thinks, that's so long from now. Yudhishthira came out of the river with a plate and took hold of Domya's feet in worship. With great happiness, he embraced his brothers and then handed the mystical plate to Draupadi. She immediately cooked a meal and placed it upon the dish. After offering the food to the Lord with appropriate prayers, she served the Brahmins. To her amazement and delight, she saw that as she served from the plate, the food was immediately replenished. So if she, whatever's there, if she took one spoon out, you know, you'll see that spoon miss, but if she puts it on the plate, when it goes back, that it's back. So she can just, it's not that it gets down and you have to scrape around and you can keep scraping. No, it's as if it's fully full each time. Each spoon you take off, then it will be replenished and be completely full. And it will stay like that until she eats. It was only when she took her own meal after serving her husband's that she saw the dish finally empty. When they had eaten, the Pandavas, blessed by auspicious rites and Vedic prayers, set out for the forest of Kamyaka, accompanied by hundreds of Brahmins. So all these hundreds of Brahmins that were there, now they just followed him. Because there was no problem now. They would have taken care of themselves anyway, but Yudhishthira would have felt bad. But now he can happily feed them all and like that. And so now there'll be these few hundred there. You know, word gets around, people will come and meet and that. So it'll be varied how many are there. More may come, others might go do things. But in any case, however many come, he could take it. Durvasa shows up with his 10,000 disciples, he can feed them also. Chapter 23, Dhritarashtra's anxiety. Right? Because you see, you go back and forth between the Pandavas and whatever their position, and then you go back to Dhritarashtra, he's completely miserable. Right? Then you go to the Pandavas again, then back to Dhritarashtra, he's miserable. So you see, the Pandavas performing their duties, good association, proper consciousness, you know, virtuous, being God conscious, everything goes nice. Dhritarashtra, he's from attachment, he's given, you know, away to his son, who's just envious and just wants everything. He has that greed for wealth and opulence and facility and position that, as was described by Shanaka, can never be satisfied. And because of this, he's willing to perform any action to get that. And problem is that by the law of karma, whatever action you perform, that result will come. And so he's performed bad actions to get all this wealth. So that means bad results will be coming his way. But it may take some time. Right? Just like if you stop watering a tree, the tree goes on for some time and then just suddenly dries up. Right? It'll go for a little bit and then quickly dry up. It's not that it slowly just dries up. It generally goes okay and then at one point just like that. So that's what will happen. So he knows this. When he applies it to anything else, he can see that clearly. But when he applies it to his son, he's hoping, well, maybe it won't be like that. Because they did win, the gods allowed it, maybe Providence will let him enjoy this wealth. You know, so he's an illusion there. In Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra was becoming increasingly sorrowful. Needing solace, he called for Vidura and said, "Dear brother, your intelligence is no less than that of great Bhargava." That Bhrigu Muni, right? So he's one of Brahma's sons. So he's considered like the head of the most renowned of all the Brahmin lineages. "You are acquainted with all the subtleties of Dharma. You regard all the Kurus equally. Tell me, therefore, what is good for me and for them? Now that things have taken this course, what should we do?" Right? So now that it's gone this way, now what should we do? Right? When he's telling you before, don't do this, it's going to give problem, it's going to be anxiety, he says, no, I'm doing this. You know, if it's going to be a problem, you know, then by providence, let it be a problem. Now, it's a problem. Now he's saying, oh, now what should I do? Since, you know, things have taken this course, who led it down that course? You know, that's the whole thing. How can we again secure the citizens' faith and love, right? How can we again... Technically, they never really had it. Pandu had it, and then Dhritarashtra was, you know, then standing in for him, but they knew that he wasn't going to be the permanent king. You know, it was going to be Pandu's sons, and so then they were waiting, and then Yudhishthira was who made the crown prince, but by that time then Duryodhana was bigger, right? He was coming of age, and so then he wanted everything, and Dhritarashtra would like that it would go down to his son. So that's when the problem starts. So he's saying, how can we again? Technically means, how can we, the Kurus, again? But him and his family never actually had that faith and love with the people. They didn't dislike him, but they were there and inspired because of Shantanu and Pandu and then Yudhishthira. That's what's inspired them. But they were never inspired by Duryodhana. Yes, okay. And especially now, how can we avoid total annihilation of our race? You know, you're saying, how can we get their faith and love, and at the same time, how can we keep them getting completely destroyed by our totally sinful activities and how we dealt with the Pandavas and their wife? He's already explained this before, why you shouldn't do it. He's explained it again. Now that you have done it, what's the consequences? And now again he's asking. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.